Celebrate pro style and catch the football spirit with the Game On Sweepstakes at Albertsons. Look for the Game On player tags when you shop. Buy three and enter to win great prizes, like a trip for four to a pro game in Orlando. Get Gatorade 8-pack 20-ounce bottles, $4.99 each, plus CRV, selected varieties. And Gatorade Organic 16.9-ounce bottles, $1.79 each, plus CRV, selected varieties. No purchase necessary. Open to residents of Southern California counties listed in rules. 18 years and older. Ends January 3rd, 2017. Enter code by January 10th, 2017. Rules at GameOnSoCal.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Good morning, everyone. I am so excited to be here with you today. This is Annette Densham with the Publicity Genie Show, where we are going to talk all things media, publicity, promotion, really about how you can use the power of PR to stand out above everybody else without having to fork out big bucks. And lucky for me, on my premiere show today, I would like to welcome the most wonderful Tanya Target. Tanya, how are you?
I am so excited to be here. Hey, Annette, thank you for having me. And hello to everyone who is listening live as well as listening later.
I know. And hopefully a lot of people are listening now. We hope to get some callers in here today to ask us some questions. But Tanya, you have had the most amazing career. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you today is because of the well-rounded person that you are, in terms of you've been a journalist, you know what it's like to be on the other side. And not just that, you're an award-winning journalist. So your nose for the news is one of the best in the business. And you're also a media and publicity trainer. So when people work with you, they kind of get the best of both worlds, don't they?
Yeah, it's, you're spot on. And I mean, like yourself, you know, you're a journalist as well. And, you know, I think that's why we have such a great understanding and are able to help so many business owners and entrepreneurs, is that we really get the pain that reporters and journalists are in every day. We know what they're looking for. And when you know what they are looking for, you know how to show business owners how to find those stories in their business, how to connect with journalists to have that incredible impact. I mean, I know a lot of people are on social media. You know, if you're not on social media, sort of you don't exist. And other people think, oh, well, you've got this power of social media to build this huge profile. But what's interesting, and this is also what I love about mainstream media, when I talk about mainstream media, I talk about newspapers, radio, TV, magazines as well. I also bundled social media influencers into actually mainstream media, because it can be as hard, if not harder, to get a social media influencer in your court than it can be to get a primetime media interview. And the thing I love about mainstream media is that anyone can claim they're an expert on social media. You know, I mean, I do own the world's noise cocker spaniels, and I could set up a Facebook page for them, and they could, you know, they could blog and they could do all kinds of stuff about, you know, how the shenanigans they're getting up to, how many fridges they've raided lately, baby gates they've crashed through. And they could claim they were the experts. But when it comes to mainstream media, there's this barrier to entry. And when you're quoted as an expert in mainstream media, suddenly you become one. So on social media, I mean, I love social media. And social media is awesome for creating profile and leveraging your mainstream media appearances. But the real piece de resistance for me is that profile that you get from mainstream media. It's the ultimate in that social proofing, because when someone says you are an expert on TV, on radio, magazines and newspapers, suddenly you are one. And then, of course, you can share that across your social media channel. So that's why I'm very passionate about mainstream media. Also, Annette, you would know the power of mainstream media. You know, the reach is massive. The reach is just so powerful. And a lot of people think it's had its heyday. And I know when I started in the media 21 years ago, they were still saying it had its heyday back then, but it's still kicking. It's still going.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was going to say, I remember when I started. they were talking about how it's going to be the paperless office and we wouldn't need any of these things anymore, that we'd be getting our news in other ways. And mind you, we've added to that, haven't we, with online and digital publications. But people still like to feel something in their hands.
Well, they do. And look, we've added to it in that, you know, I it's definitely, you know, it's shifted, it's changing, it's going to change even further. Whether or not there will be a printed, you know, what we call a journalist, whether it's a hard copy in terms of a physical paper you can touch and feel a magazine, I don't know. What I do know is people are still going to want their news presented. They are still going to want to hear from experts. And in fact, the social media sites of news agencies, so your CNN and your Sky and Forbes and Entrepreneur and, you know, all New York Times, all have massive followings because people still have a thirst for knowledge and a thirst for news. And so it's just about, you know, pivoting that mainstream media. It has sort of, it does look a little bit different, but it is still mainstream media. There is still this incredible power it has and influence it has that you don't get in that social media sphere.
Absolutely. And it's a really powerful platform in that we love stories. You know, as human beings, it's storytelling and consuming stories is something that we've been doing since we could, you know, sit around a fire and communicate and draw on walls. And I know that you were saying to me that, you know, the media really, it's been instrumental for freeing innocent people, you know, sending the baddies to jail, legalizing different things, and also raising awareness of things that we otherwise wouldn't know about. So that power is incredible.
Oh, I mean, totally. I mean, one of the things I'm very passionate about is I use the media. I have used the media. So for those of you who don't know a lot about me, as you were saying, Annette, you know, I am an award-winning journalist and a former investigative news journalist. And I, as an investigative news journalist, I, you know, chased a lot of bad guys. I mean, I chased an axe murderer around a golf course. He was released from a mental institution, and I chased him around a golf course. May or may not have got a golf buggy stuck in a bunker when he spotted me and the paparazzi cameraman. I've, you know, uncovered terrorist training camps. I've caused royal commissions, and I personally have sent bad guys to jail. I've taken in hidden cameras to find pedophile priests for international news agencies. So you have that element of it, and there's this huge human interest element too. I mean, I've used, you know, when I left investigative journalism to have my daughter, and she's now 12, I left about 13 years ago from daily newsrooms, but have still kept working in the media in that time. But when I left it back then, I then used the power of the media to grow a retail business and then to grow a service business, because I knew, you know, about the power of the media to drive sales, to raise authority, raise credibility. And when you are the quoted expert, people don't argue with you about what prices you are setting because you are the expert, so you are recognized. So it is a real point of difference. But the thing I love about it too, and this is what I say to my students, you know, you learn how to get in the media and you learn how to create publicity and profile. And it's sure, your driving agenda might be to for sales for your business. Fantastic. But there's other cool things happens too, and that's that you get to do all this other stuff. You know, you can save parks, you can campaign for things. You know, you can help friends who are, you know, who are stuck with something. I mean, there was a traffic issue at my daughter's school just about, I think, 3 weeks ago, before I headed over to America to speak in front of 800 people at a Jeff Walker event in Los Angeles. And the traffic was a nightmare, and it had been a nightmare for some time. Now, some parents write letters. I didn't. I wrote a media release, and that made statewide TV, and is the traffic better? Much better. So, you know, you can do these little things. You can make improvements in your neighborhood, and then you can do these huge things, like, you know, get drugs legalized. I mean, it's an incredibly powerful platform. And the thing that I love about it is that a lot of people think they need to be a really big player before they start using the media, but we all love the story of the underdog. We all love that David versus Goliath story, and we love seeing a David-type character who campaigns for something, who fights for something, the drug to save a loved one, to free someone, to put someone in jail, as well as to save a park, to save animals, to save a beach. We love seeing all of that stuff. And just on what you were saying, Annette, about the power of story, you know, there's a saying in the business world, and that's that facts and logic unlock the mind. But the heart, when you touch the heart, it unlocks the wallet. So that in terms of when you're wanting to get a sale with a customer, so if you present them with facts and figures, you're just going to get into a logical discussion. But if you want to tap into their heart and get them to make that transaction with you, it's about that story. Now, stories have been passed down for generation upon generation. Indeed, the campfire and, in fact, the cave and, of course, the Bible and all its incarnations and its different denominations is, of course, a collection of stories. Because we remember stories, we connect with stories. And if you've seen someone present from stage, it's their story that you will remember. It's not the facts and the figures that they presented.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point that you're making about, you know, that power of the media and what you can do. I mean, you've even you've demonstrated multiple times in your career after leaving news how you can use that to grow a business. And you've grown a couple of businesses very successfully. I think the first one was after the tsunami in Toowoomba that you recovered and started again, and now you're doing that with your media business, but also helping so many other people. My question is, we both know how powerful the media is, and the people who come to your programs or who work with me also understand that. What is stopping all these other people from going, hang on, this is at my fingertips, I can really use this to grow my business?
I guess a couple of things. The first thing that stops people is they feel they don't have a story. They feel that they need to be established. They feel that they need to be a big boy. They feel they need to be in business for some time. They feel they need to have connections. They need to know someone in the media to get in the media. And they feel that they feel they need to hire someone to do that for them. And what I say to people is, well, firstly, you don't need to be established. A journalist, as you know, Annette, all we care about is that you have a story. We don't care that you're not even open for business yet. We don't even care that you opened your business at morning tea and it's lunchtime. All we care about is that you have a story. We care that it's newsworthy. We care that you are credible, so that when we do run your story or share your story, your client stories, that we're not going to have to print a retraction or correction the next day. So we care that you are, you know, that because at the end of the day, it's our name on the line. That's our name out there in the public. So we want to make sure we do get you to go through a few hoops, but that's why. And you don't need to be a writer. A lot of people think, oh, I can't, you know, I need to write a media release, but I don't know how to write. Well, a media release is a formula, as you know, Annette. It's a news formula. It's not the whole story. It's like a movie trailer of the story. So the first reason why people think that they can't get the media is that they just don't think they have a story, or they don't know what their story is, and then they think that they need to know someone. For those that overcome that, because at the end of the day, you and I have shown many times, you don't need to know anybody in the media to get in the media. You just need to have that great story, or those multiple great stories, which is really what it's all about. The next thing would be is those not learning how to do it properly. And this isn't just me saying it. And I'll often say to people, look, hire someone. If you want to get in the media, there is a formula, just like there's a formula for what you teach, okay? So if you want to, you know, if you want to become a masseuse, there's a course that you go and do. If you want to become a dentist, there's a course that you want to do. If you want to become an NLP trainer, there's a course that you go and do. What a lot of people do is they think, I am a writer, or I've written reports, or I write social media, or I'll just have a crack. And what happens is, for the majority of them, is they get rejected. And if they are successful, they can't orchestrate it to happen on demand. And that's the big thing, because it's not about getting in the media once or twice. Honestly, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can do that. The real power for monetizing the media, the real power, the real ability to drive sales, drive traffic to your website, drive sales, build credibility, and build profile, comes from multiple media touches. Now, if the saying in the business world and sales and marketing is that it takes 7 points of contact to get that sale with your customer, why would it be any different with the media? Yeah, we think that just getting in the media. Yeah, yeah. So yet they think just by getting in the media once, that phone's going to ring. Now, it might if you've got, you know, the world's best thigh fat cream. And if you do, please let me know. and you're on national TV, sure. But the phone will still stop at some point. How are you going to get that phone ringing again? Now, here's the other thing in it, as you'll know, is that you've got those 7 points of contact. Now, let's see your client or potential client sees you in the media all 7 times. Fantastic. Except they're not ready to make a move yet. They're not ready to buy the fat cream or to start changing their lifestyle or to purchase a home or to get legal advice or to look into their accounting or to look with their limiting beliefs and their mindset. They're not ready yet. They might not be ready for 12 months. They might not be ready for 2 years. They might not ever be ready. But when you're in the media time and time again, when that person is ready and you're the face, you're the logo, you're the brand, you're the expert that they see, you're the person they're going to call. And that's what it's all about. So what I say to people is either hire someone who knows how to do it properly or train with someone. That's not necessarily me. I just want people to get into the media because the power of it and the abundance and the return that you get from being in the media is unrivaled.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a sticking point I think that people get is they do have their 15-minute Andy moment of fame and think, all right, I've arrived. But it's a little bit like going on a diet or, you know, exercising, is that you've really got to do it more than once to get results. What do you think is the reason people stop at that one? Is it that they're scared or they run out of puff? What do you think?
Great question. No one's ever asked me that question before, so that's an awesome question. I think it's a combination.
Paid the big bucks, Tanya.
Totally. So thank you for that question. It's a fantastic one. I think it's a combination of things, Annette. I think they run out of paths. I think they don't understand the ability to retell the one story time and time and time again. So that is looking for a different part of the story to magnify. So they don't understand that you can take the one story and then you can reinvent it for a different demographic. So, for instance, using the media, I built a high six-figure turning seven-figure business, and it was lost in an inland tsunami. And I've just started sharing that story. And there's other elements of my story. There's a domestic violence component of my story. There's a single mum element of my story. And what I do is I decide firstly where I'm going. What is my end in mind? What is the outlet where I am going? And I pull a piece of my story and I highlight that piece for that outlet that I'm going. So, for instance, if I was talking about how to use the media to build a six or turning high seven-figure business, I might go to a business magazine, you know, like Entrepreneur or Forbes or Inc. or something like that. If I was talking about my personal battle as a woman and a mother and what it was like to go to business with a high six-figure business, then have a tsunami come through the middle of the town, be separated and cut off from your family, and then suffer, as I did, a mini stroke from the stress of it, get diagnosed with depression, only to go again and rebuild another six-figure business, this time in 6 months while a single mum. That story would probably go to a women's magazine or a consumer magazine. Now, it's the same story, but it's a slightly different hook, a slightly different angle. So you can pull out different parts of your story. And I could focus just on the health aspect, and I could go to a fitness magazine or I could go to a women's entrepreneur magazine. So I think people get their 15 seconds of fame and then they think, well, I've shared my story. That's it. I've got nothing left to give. When you and I both know from working with clients and getting media for ourselves that one story can be told many times. So that then brings me to the next reason why don't they keep going. It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of knowledge of knowing how to do that, how to take different parts of your story to get back into the media and how to identify those little bits of gold that you're sitting on with your clients or your potential clients. So if my one story can be turned into, I mean, literally, I use the one story for about about $2.5 million worth of free publicity over a 2-year period. If I could do that with one story, imagine what you can do with a story from three of your customers. You don't need a lot to get into the media. You just need to understand that it's newsworthy, and that's I think where people fall short. And they also don't factor in a lot of things, like for instance, what's going on in the news cycle right now. Well, of course, we have an election in 2 days over in America, and that's going to affect news in the mix all around the world. And so those who aren't also paying attention to that might put a media release out or contact a journalist with a story and have it rejected, taking it personally when they haven't thought about the other things that are going on in that cycle. And that just comes from that knowledge. Just like, you know, when you're learning your craft, you have that knowledge that you get. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what that says too is that you really need to become a student of the news that you want to reach out to, so that you can see and understand what's going on over a period of time. Like I had a client last week who was devastated, the week before, that his business story didn't get a run. But that was the week of what happened at Dreamworld. And he just couldn't understand why nobody could see how interesting his story is. So do you think that when you're going and you're doing your own media and your own public relations, that you have to change your thinking? You have to stop thinking as the emotional business person that my product and service is the best thing since sliced bread, and start looking at it, how is a journalist going to see my story? What little pieces of the pie can I break up to hand to them on a platter that they're going to go, yes, I need this with ice cream and cream?
A couple of things for those who aren't in Australia in the dream world. What happened last week in the news cycle, I think 4 people perished, didn't they, Nat? 4 people lost their lives in a ride malfunction. And then I think 2 days after that ride malfunctioned, a bus driver in Brisbane was set on fire. And the morning that the bus driver was set on fire, there was a domestic violence with a knife where a woman was almost killed. So it's what we call a very busy news cycle. So
traumatic.
Yeah, there's just no way you can compete with that, so to speak. And in fact, a telltale sign is where a story is dominating the news up to the first ad break or the first TV break, and probably the first 9-10 pages of a newspaper, depending on whether it's tabloid or broadsheet. You know that if there's that one story dominating, that you need to hold off until that story starts to move further down into the bulletin. I like to make it really, really simple, and I know there'll be amazing PR people listening to this, and there'll also be people who've never started with the media. So for those who haven't started and want to get started, I teach everyone, and you would do this yourself, that it is a PR secret. We use Google Alerts. There are so many news outlets out there. You can't possibly be abreast. I travel around the world, so I'll miss the news because I'm on planes and I'll have jet lag and I'm in conferences, but I want to stay abreast. So what I do is I set up my Google Alerts, as PR people do, and you put in your keywords. Now, if you don't know how to set up Google Alerts, you can just Google on Google how to set up Google Alerts. It's a really cool video on the front page of Google, and you can put in keywords. You can put in your name, you can put in your business name, you can put in your areas of expertise, and of course you can put in seasonal things as well. So for instance, if you are a grief counsellor and you want to share your expertise to help people who had been impacted by the Dreamworld incident, not only for those at the park, but also those watching TV, because there is that transfer of trauma across the screen and on the internet, you might put into Google Alerts Dreamworld tragedy so that you keep getting the news coming up, so that you can look for opportunities to do another thing that us PR people do, which is called newsjacking, which is where you basically just gate crash someone else's 15 seconds of fame and add some knowledge and expertise into a conversation already in the public domain, to keep the conversation going and also to position yourself as an expert. So that would be my thing about, you know, yeah, you sort of get a little bit news savvy, but I'm also mindful of it not taking up too much of people's day. So personally, when I'm having my 7 cups of coffee in the morning, I'll check my Google Alert. And the next thing would be your question about should they arm's length divorce themselves from the emotion. My big thing would be to please take off your salesman hat.
Yes, I'm with you.
A journalist is not an advertising person. They are a story hunter. So when you come up, and this is the nemesis for us, Annette, is that damn 15-second elevator pitch where you've got to say what you do in your business and how awesome it is in 30 seconds at the beginning of a networking event or when you meet someone. It is a killer for journalists. We don't like sales pitches. We just want to hear about the story. We're not there to sell your business, sell your product. And, in fact, your media release, and this is where a lot of people come unstuck, your media release is not about your business, your product, your service, or your event. It is about the story behind that. It is about what brought you to this moment in your life right now. It's about what brought your clients to you in this moment right now. Their turning points, their transition points, their aha moments. And when you know how to extract those aha moments, you can literally turn one media release into seven, one media opportunity into seven. So I think, if anything, I like the emotion. So stay emotionally attached if you like, but just ditch that sale cap, please. That unless you want to be put through the advertising department, and that's when you end up with no's from journalists. And here's what happens when you get a no from a journo, because as you know, Annette, newsrooms are very busy. You've got like about 15 seconds, and that's being generous, to get them to see what you see. And you might have been working on what you see for an hour. You might have been working on it for 10 years. They've never heard from you before. They've never heard this story before. How can you get them to see what you see without giving them a sales pitch? Because the minute we smell a sales pitch, we start looking for an exit strategy. And if we can't get one, sometimes we are rude and we get off that phone, because we live in massive story pain. We've got to find stories every minute, every second of the day. Poor online reporters have to upload every 30 seconds. So we're going to give you some time when you follow up your media list. We're going to give you some time on the phone. We're going to listen for the story. And the minute we can't hear a story, we start looking for an exit strategy. So, but conversely, think about this. We've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to fill on time, online, 364 days a year. If you can ease that pain, so just like your customers or potential customers have a pain point, so do reporters. And if you can ease that pain, do you think we want to hear from you? Absolutely. But if you try to give us a sales pitch, we'll put you through the advertising department, because they're in another pain, and their pain is to sell advertising space, and it quite clearly looks like you can solve that pain. So we're just going to put you through so we can free up our phone for the person who can solve our story pain.
To get to the next one, is it? Like, how many media releases have you received in your career that says, we're really proud to announce the opening of our new store, and you roll your eyes and you go, not interested, hang on, I'm just forwarding your email to our advertising department, thank you for that.
Yeah, totally. And to be honest, when I was in that high-pressure cooker environment, in it, I would just giggle, smile, and shake my head and go, thanks for making this so easy. And I would hit delete. I wouldn't even forward it. I wouldn't even respond, because I literally just didn't have the time. I'm just sitting there with my finger on the delete button in my computer waiting for something that looks like a story. It's delete, 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 quickly read it, delete, quickly read it. And I just keep going until I find something. Meanwhile,
yeah, because
you're
on the hunt.
Yeah, we're on the hunt, and we've got our own little book. We've got our own little book of contacts. So, and everyone on this call wants to be getting into that book. And that little book of contacts are people who are, like I was saying at the beginning of this call, they're people who have proven they have a story and they've proven that they're credible. So we know that when they go on the record, when they go in a radio or a TV interview or on the record for a newspaper, we know that we don't get in trouble the next day that they're saying something that's not true. So they've earned a spot in our little contact book because they're factual and they were interesting and they were credible. So what we do is, in between your calls and in between your releases that you're sending us, we're making our own, and we're going through our list of experts, which isn't from the internet, okay? It's from previous transactions with experts. We're going through that list, calling you, seeing what you got going on. It's a quote, we'll say something like, it's a quiet news day, what do you got? This has just happened at Dreamworld. Have you got any thoughts about it being a grief counsellor, a psychologist, or a sleep specialist or whatever? You know, we're looking for people to add to the current conversation. So we're going to go through our book to do that.
And those phone calls will come from that relationship having been built over time, because a journalist is not going to run your story every single time. But in my experience, if you build that relationship, you continue to send good quality stories that may not be right for now, but that journalist will go, you know what, that Tanya Target, I tell you what, she's always delivering, always has some different perspective. You know, I really need to speak to her about what's happened at Dreamworld, because she has, I know that she'll give me a different perspective and a new tweak on the angle of what's current.
Yeah, totally, absolutely, completely agree. And I think also people say, well, how often do I go to the media? And I'll say, whenever you have a story. And you just hit the nail on the head then, because you said, you know, if you're always sending media releases that are newsworthy, the timing might not be right. We don't know that, because we're not in the newsroom. We don't know what else is going on in that newsroom. So we're going to send the media release, and the timing might not be right, but so long as that media release is newsworthy, they know that when they hear from Annette or they hear from Tanya, it's worth checking out, because we never waste their time. And that's how you build that great relationship. So then they do, they remember, we remember that. We've got brilliant memories that we go, oh, I'll call such and such, because they never waste my time. They've always got something great to say, and they're always newsworthy. And it just makes the journalist's job really easy. And when you make the journalist's job really easy, you make it really easy for them to help you. And when they help you, the power of that is honestly unrivaled. Getting in national newspapers, national magazines, national TV, or global media, global magazines, global newspapers, if you were to buy that, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars per advert, per day. But if you can get that for free, you know, why wouldn't you? And the people that you can reach is absolutely profound. And, of course, as we said before, you can leverage that across social media. And then it's all about getting back in the media, not haphazard. It's knowing how to do it, when you need it, and where you want it. So that is being able to tap into media locally and being tapped into media globally. And that's the true power.
Oh, absolutely. I was just thinking while you were talking then, someone asked me the other day, how do you measure the success of sending out a media release and receiving subsequent publicity? And I thought, well, there's so many different KPIs surrounding that it really depends on what it is that you're looking for. What are your thoughts on that?
I honestly I hate that question. Do you hate that when you get asked that? Because
how long's a piece of string? Really? Okay. Or the other question,
exactly.
I really hate is, can you guarantee that you'll get me media coverage?
Well, I can't. I just, because Dreamworld might happen. A ride might malfunction. Someone might set a bus driver on fire. Can't guarantee it. Yeah,
I'll just ring my husband Rupert Murdoch and ask him.
I had a story appearing on page one of the Australian newspaper, which is a national newspaper, and I was working as a media strategist, so I was a high gun, so to speak, for a PR agency. And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and for those of you who know the media, there's a key news conference around about that time, and that story had all gone on the news list into that news conference, and it came out until page one. Sometime between 4 and 5 o'clock and 7:30 at night for the page one conference, the story got bumped. Not only did the story not appear on page one, the story never appeared in the newspaper ever to this day. You just never know what's going on in the news cycle, and you never even know what's going on with the personalities in that newsroom, because they're human beings as well. But there's never any guarantees, and that's the beauty of knowing how to go multiple times, because you're not desperate. You don't have everything hinged on this one media release. So if it doesn't make it in, no big deal. You just send it somewhere else or send it back with a slightly different angle and go again when it's a better time. In terms of the measuring, it's really, really difficult. I mean, you can measure the I'm in my old fashioned terms here, where you would measure centimetres. So you can measure I'm showing my age now, Annette. So you can see where it has been generated. Now you can pay for that service. It's a very premium service. There's all kinds of media monitoring services. Google Alerts is a great one too. A student of mine the other day, her name came up with Google Alerts. She had a story in the Daily Mail in the UK and she didn't even know about it. And the Google Alerts set up. So that's a free way of doing it. Might not capture everything, but it's still going to capture a fair bit. And you could get the advertising rate, those news outlets, and it very quickly adds up. So what you can say is, if I got that news article, that 15, that 30 seconds, that 3 minutes on TV, and I had to pay for that as an ad, what would that cost me? So that's one way to get that monetary return. But what's really hard to track is the ripple effect of that media. And it is very much a medium to long-term marketing strategy and very much a slow burn, yet incredibly powerful. And people often say that to me and ask me that question, and I'll say, I've used the media to grow a couple of high six-figure, turning seven figures for myself, and I've used it for multi-million dollar corporations. Let's just have a look at me as a media strategist and a PR person. If this didn't work, you know how busy I am. Do you honestly think I would use this strategy myself, or would I employ another strategy? Yes, indeed. I don't. I use it myself because I know how it is, honestly, and as you know, it is unrivaled. It usually doesn't work as fast as advertising. It's a slow burn. But once that momentum builds, it is like a freight train. And then everyone's wondering who you know and how you did that when they haven't been paying attention. If you're doing this over 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, for my retail business, it took 18 months before I could track a direct sale from the media. Yet there was a turning point when I was on a national current affairs program that made my business six figures overnight. But it had taken 18 months of media to get to that point. But here's the other thing too, is it's not just about measuring the advertising space and getting the phone to ring. What can you do with that increasing profile behind the scenes? Can you leverage it for sponsorship? Can you leverage it for a keynote talk? Can you leverage it for better wholesale prices? Can you leverage it for better retail prices? Can you leverage it for better affiliate commissions? Can you leverage it for better service providers? I mean, I've used it to renegotiate my rent, my credit card, my loans, the hourly rate of my service providers. Because when you start to get authority and profile, you go from being a passenger in the business negotiation process to the driver. And it's so much more powerful and profitable when you are the person negotiating the terms of the contract. And you can do that because you've been as seen on or in Forbes, Huffington Post, Daily Mail, BBC, wherever you know is important for you. You've been there, and you can leverage that to say, well, you know what? It's not in a diva kind of way, but you've got profile, and if people want to work with a celebrity, so to speak, then there is a fee for that.
They keep back from it, isn't there?
Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Third party credibility is, you know, we were talking about, you know, what's the value, what's it cost, what's the KPIs. There really is no dollar figure that you can put on the credibility that you receive from influential, well-known, even not so well-known publications, because as we've talked about, people see you and they go, oh, my goodness, this person knows what they're doing. Hey, Tanya, you know, we can take calls. I just want to let everybody know that if you want to call in and ask Tanya some questions, the number is 646-716-7979. So that's 646-716-7979. And like you've got on air one of the most outstanding media trainers in the world, in Tanya Target. So if you want to pick a brain for a little bit, now's your opportunity. Tanya, and someone said to me, why are you getting like someone who's potentially your competitor? And I said, well, I don't look at it that way because, this is a lady that... Yeah, it's collaboration. Like at the end of the day, both you and I are incredibly passionate about the power of the media and helping businesses tap into that because we've got those skills and expertise. We know how to do it and we know how to help them manage that process. So I went, you know, this is a person I admire. Why would I want to keep her from the world? Like seriously. You just said you've come back from Jeff Walker in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that is amazing. That must have been so exciting.
Yeah, I was I was in the top 10, but actually there were 11 of us. So when I say top 10, I put little quotes around it. It was supposed to be top 10, but Jeff couldn't limit it to just 10 people. But so there were 11 finalists in a global marketing competition, and yours truly was one of those finalists. And we were competing for a Ferrari as first prize. And it was really cool. And as part of that, I got to talk on stage and share a little bit about my journey. And, you know, it's a great example because when my theme, so my angle, my little flavor that I had based on who was sitting in the audience was about the heart of a fighter and about how, you know, I trained as a full contact amateur boxer and how boxing has a lot of similarities to the world of entrepreneurship because you've got to take some knocks and, of course, there's many times you feel like throwing in the towel but you've got to get up and go again and you've got to fight another round. So I was able to share my story by using that. And I didn't win the car, but I did win a retreat ticket, an intimate retreat ticket to go and spend 2 days with Jeff Walker, who is a New York Times number one bestseller. He's known as the $400 million man, although I think it's up to about $700 million now, which is how much he's helped people create through his product, the creator of the product launch formula. And in fact, coming out this week, I believe it is, I'm actually an international case study for Jeff. I flew to LA not only to speak in front of 800 of the world's top online marketers at this amazing conference called LaunchCon, but I also had to fly over earlier to be interviewed for his launch, which he's in the middle of right now, as an international case study. Only Aussie, and only Aussie up on stage, and only single parent up on stage. So I was not bad for a little chickie from the Gold Coast.
Not bad. Taking names and kicking goals. I love it. I love it. Now, both you and I, when we stand in front of people or even like the clients that I work with doing their PR for them, one of the biggest barriers that I find is mindset. And it's not even something that people acknowledge. And it's the thing that stops people either continuing with the process. You said just before, you know, the power of PR and getting publicity is about the slow burn. Are there any, you know, little tricks or hacks that you have that could help someone who's sitting there going, oh, look, I tried this thing, stupid PR, it doesn't work. PR person I was working with is an idiot, or, you know, the media are stupid, or I don't know how to write a media release. What are some of your little the tricks? Because you've had to overcome incredible things in your life. So there must be something working for you.
Yeah, I guess it. I always come back to, and it's Stephen Covey's phrase, start with the end in mind. But for someone like myself and you, Annette, we have a very, very, you know, this phrase is bandied around about conscious competence and unconscious competence. And that unconscious competence is about your expertise and what you take for granted. So quite often our greatest value lies in that which we take for granted. And so what a lot of people think is, I don't have any value. Journalists don't want to hear it from me because I don't have any value. But what they don't realise is that what they don't value is, in fact, what the reporter is most likely looking for. Now, how do you know that? Well, firstly, you've really got to understand what makes news. And there's many, many categories of news. And you know, we don't have time to go into all of them here today. Yeah, there's one we've already covered on, so I want to go into that one, which is newsjacking, which is where there is something in the news cycle and it's timely and it's current and you can answer your 15 seconds, the public conversation about that. So that's one category. There's also another category, and I'm going to mention these two because they're relevant for these are like my little hacks, and that's emotion. Wherever there is emotion, there is a story that has news value. Now, I am sure that every single person on this call has an emotional story. Now, it's really important also to not compare stories. So you might go, well, it's easy to tell you she's been through a tsunami. I haven't been through a tsunami, so I don't have a story. We can't compare stories because what is a tsunami in one field is a tsunami in another field. What classifies as gossip and scandalous in the entertainment industry won't be scandalous and gossip necessarily in the business. You've got to, in a business magazine, so you need to understand what makes news for those different outlets and what element of emotion. So you could have a very interesting financial or story of a business success that would get a great run in a business magazine because it's got the emotional level suitable for that business magazine. But in an entertainment gossip style magazine, the emotion wouldn't be sufficient. So it's really important to be careful about comparing stories, because whatever the level of emotion, whatever your story, when targeted to the right outlet, will be a perfect mix. So there's emotion in your story and there's emotion in your client's or potential client's story. So that in itself is a media goldmine. That then comes back to this, well, I don't have any value, and this whole newsjacking thing, adding 15 seconds of fame. So ask yourself, how is it you know what you know? What is it that brought you to this moment? Okay, where exactly were you when you decided to do what you were doing? Where were you? What day of the year were it was? So I get people to paint a picture so that you could literally see it. Okay, you could literally see it. For instance, what I'm doing now, I was sitting in a coffee shop with a friend, and I just left a 10-year marriage, and I said to my friend, do I go again? I don't know if I have it in me. And she said to me, you absolutely have to go again. And it was a sunny day, and I was crying into my coffee, and she was drinking her hot chocolate. That story has just become national. Like, it was just published on Saturday, okay? Because it's having that very clear picture of where were you in that moment. So a lot of people want to throw that out and just focus on that sales pitch. But the interest is in that story in that moment. So ask, really interview yourself. Ask, where were you? So you would know as reporters, we want to know the 5 W's and the 1 H. Who, what, why, when, where, and how. Where were you? When was that? Why were you there? What brought you to that moment? What made you decide to do this? Why did you do this? How did you decide to go down the particular niche that you were going down? What made you to teach that, you know, or overcome those particular pain points? Because what you will find is that hidden media releases lie in that information you keep sharing with all your clients and potential clients. All those little nuggets that you quite happily hand out because you don't place value on them are your expertise and your knowledge, and could easily be turned into media releases that instead of being handed from one to one could be handed from one to many. So that would be my first, would be sit down and find out, really retrace and keep asking those questions to get to that real core of, you know, a mind map around that of what brought you to this moment. What was that turning point? Was it depression? Was it sickness? Was it hunger? Was it a financial catastrophe or averting a financial catastrophe? Was it a divorce? Was it domestic violence? I'm not sure. What was it? Don't window dress it. Just get it down on paper. You can edit it later. No one is going to see this. We're just hunting for stories right now. The next thing would be is to hop on and do a search on the internet for awareness calendar days, awareness calendar months, awareness calendar weeks. Be careful when you do this. Just be mindful of what countries are popping up and use a different colour pen for each country. And this is going to give you the ability to create global media, because what happens is all around the world, every day of the year, there's some awareness day, week or month for something. I know, for instance, I think it's endometriosis month. It's in March of next year. How do I know that? Because I've been speaking to an expert and they are getting ready to leverage that month. So if you're an expert in endometriosis, that is a great time to be in a women's magazine or even an older fitness magazine that aims for that older demographic, as well as you could repackage it for a teenage magazine, because teenagers get endometriosis too, and it really isn't talked about. So you can identify these awareness days, weeks and months, locally and globally, to find opportunities in the media that you can use, Jack. Now, in terms of you put your media list out before and it didn't work, or you hired someone and it didn't work, have a look at where that person's been published. If you're hiring someone, I know you and I would be probably on the same page here and now. I'm very passionate about you finding someone who really understands what makes news. And the safest place to do that is to find someone who has been published multiple times, be that a former radio reporter, a former TV reporter, or a former print journalist. Find someone who's multi-published, so not just once or twice and got lucky, multi-published, because that means that they know what makes news and they can help you find it. So if it hasn't worked before, I would say, you know, was it a bad time? Was there a bus fire or a Dreamworld, fatality? Was there something going on in the news? Or was the person perhaps not the best person to be sharing your story? If you tried it yourself, do you actually know what you're doing? Did you actually start with what made news? Did you actually follow the news formula? Or did you just find a free template online and have a crack? Because, you know, it really is a formula. And I've had people study with me, and they say, you know, Tanya, I thought I could do it. And now, they come with me and they sit me and they go, you don't know what you don't know. And that's the problem. Is people just think everything we found on Google is that it can be. But is it actually going to get you media? And if it was going to be getting you media, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Because my goal is to empower business owners. It's my own daughter's done my training, and I hope she teaches her kids how to write media releases, because I want everyone to know how to do this. And if there was already something free online that you could just go and do, I'd go and do something else. There isn't. So quite often people blame themselves when they don't get the media. They think it's not their story. It's probably the wrong part of the story, and it probably wasn't presented in the format that it should have been presented. And if you hired someone, they might not have known much better, unfortunately, either, because I'm not sure about you and that, but I know I personally have trained PR people and some very big PR people with seven-figure businesses that are part of some I've got confidentiality agreements, but some massive part of some massive networks and corporations. So, yeah, there's a story. There's multiple stories in you, and I would just encourage you to either learn how to do it properly. And that's not necessarily with me. It can be with the net. There's lots of amazing trainers out there. Just find someone who can teach you how to do it properly, or hire someone that can do it properly. Because when you find either one of those, you will get the media. I don't know when it will happen, but I know it will happen.
It will happen, yes. And the very famous words of an ad: it won't happen overnight, but
it
will happen.
It won't happen overnight. You read my mind. I just wasn't sure if they had that ad in America or the UK or Germany.
No. I use that one all the time, because one of the barriers I find with people is that they expect that instant win. We live in a society where, you know, the microwave taking 30 seconds to heat up your soup is far too long.
Yeah.
So, and because there's so many businesses, like small businesses who are starting, they want instant results to get a return on their money. But, you know, like anything in life, you have to be patient, you have to be persistent, you have to be resistant to that, you know, talk in your head that says, nah, this isn't going to work, or I'm not good enough, I've got nothing to say, and keep pushing forward.
And that's a really important point too. And when you talk about that 30-second, that instant gratification, and that's also why it's important to be in the media time and time again. It's not just about those 7 points of contact. It's also about the amount of noise that there is out there. And there is so much noise, and there's a lot of noise on social media, and mainstream media really does break through that noise. And you want to be making sure that you are back in there time and time again in little bites, so that they're constantly seeing you and you are constantly pushing through that noise, because there's a lot of that chatter. The other thing too that you just reminded me was when it really saddens me when people partner with the media, because I just know that if you present it in the right way, you'll get media. And you and I, our livelihoods have depended on our ability to find a story in someone. I've never, ever found anyone who didn't have a story in my entire career. And, in fact, people have multiple stories. When I was doing live training last year before I pivoted to online, I would often do a 45-minute consultation with my students before they came and trained with me. And I would find, on average, 7 to 12 stories in 45 minutes from someone that I'd never had any contact with. And the stories that I found in that consultation process did turn into national and international stories. And the most that I ever found from a complete stranger in 45 minutes was 17 stories in 45 minutes. So when people say, oh, you know, I don't have a story, or I got back, it breaks my heart, because I know that you have stories. I know that you have many stories, and I know if you present it in the right way, if you can solve that reporter's pain, if you can solve that journalist's pain, and their pain point are stories and vision, or stories and photos, if you can solve that, then you can get media. That's all it comes down to. It's that simple. And also, for those who may have been in the media before and it didn't work for them, my question would be, where did you appear? Was it sales generating media or was it expert positioning media? Because when I used an example before of pulling different aspects of my story for different publications and retelling it based on a different audience for that publication, my story shared in a women's magazine, it's not necessarily a sales generating media for me because I train business owners. It would be great publicity for me. It'd be great profile for me. I could certainly leverage it. I can certainly use it to share with my database and let them know, you know, look at this, because everyone wants to be part of a rising success story. Everyone wants to be part of that success journey. But it wouldn't necessarily get me a tangible, trackable sale from the phone ringing. Yeah, I could still make money with it behind the scenes. I could use it for the sponsorships and the renegotiating prices and partnerships and that kind of thing. When I go to a business magazine, that is sales generating for me because my potential customers are business owners. So it's really important, and it's also expert positioning for me as well because it helps position me as an expert. So when you are going to the media or you've got your PR person going to the media for you, find out if that's going to be sales generating for you or expert positioning, because quite often people might go to an expert positioning publication or show, which makes them look good, but it's not what their customers are going to be listening to. It's not going to be getting the phone ringing. And then they blame it on the media when, as you and I both know, man, it works, and it honestly works like nothing else.
Yeah, look, and everything you've just said sums up really nicely that you need a strategy, is that if you can't just go and throw it out there and hope that the phone's going to ring off the hook if you aren't going to the right platform to elicit the right results. So you need to spend a little bit of time, don't you, on looking at, okay, what is it that I would like to achieve in a 12-month period? And here's my plan to do that. Here's how I'm going to make my rug look like a magnificent piece of work.
Totally. You need a game plan. So how would you do that? Well, you know, you can hire someone to do that for you. You can also, in the meantime, while you're waiting to get in someone fantastic like Annette, you can also start with those calendar days. You can also start tracking, you know, those awareness months and start having a look at where the opportunities for you to get into the media. And, of course, if there is an awareness day, week or month that's relevant to your expertise, you could always create one as well, which is really great branding. You need about 8 months at least out from announcing that day to plan all that media, because you also need to be thinking, we haven't even touched on this, but we need to be thinking about the lead-in time for some of these magazines. I mean, for instance, Entrepreneur Magazine's got a six-month lead-in time, meaning if you want to be in the print version, you submit now, and if you get in, it'll be in 6 months' time. So there is that planning as well. The other thing to think about is, well, how do I know what's sales generating? How do I know what's expert positioning? Well, you can do some basic research with your tribes. You could run some polls in your tribes. You could send out a survey to your database, you know, and be creative when you ask these questions. Because if you were to say to me, Tanya, what do you watch on TV? I'd say, well, I don't watch TV. But if you said to me, well, what's on in the background when you're making dinner at night? I would say, oh, well, Channel 7. Then you know, okay, well, is Tanya my avatar? Well, if she is my avatar, you know, if she is my customer, avatar and customer are interchangeable. If she is my avatar, then I know that I should be showcased on Channel 7. That then translates to, well, now I know which news I should aim for, or which breakfast show I should aim for. Although if you ask me in the morning, it's different. I would watch Channel 9 in the morning and I watch Channel 7 at night. So this is all really important information as to, if she's my potential customer, where should I appear for breakfast TV and where should I go for nighttime TV? So you can ask little things like, what's on the car when you hop in? What podcasts do you listen to? It's great to be interviewed on podcasts. What newspapers, you know, do you read on a Saturday when you have time? What do you listen to the radio when you drive the kids to school or pick them up in the afternoon? Quite often it's different. So it's being creative and actually asking your existing customers what they are watching, reading, and listening to. And that will also help you to understand where you need to be. Then on top of that, so that's a couple of immediate tangible exercises you can do. You can also Google world's top business magazines, world's best property magazine, top fitness magazine. In fact, Wikipedia has an amazing list of the most popular publications all around the world, country by country. It's got all of them, the gardening and the makeup and the consumer and the business and the technology, they're all there in one very handy Wikipedia document. You can just go and you can have a look. And
yeah,
you can
Google's
start
your friend.
The game plan. Yeah, Google is your friend. Yeah, it's very good research.
That's amazing. And like you're talking about the calendars, there's one called ourcommunity.com.au, which is just gold for all of those dates. So, Tanya, look, we're at the end of our time together, and I have a feeling that we could probably keep going for another 76 days. But if you want to contact Tanya, all of her information is up on the program show. Connect with me on Facebook. I'll share that with her. Tanya, it has been absolutely awesome. I bow to your knowledge. You're incredible. And I love your enthusiasm. And I think anyone listening just got gold out of that. Until next time, tune in for the next program.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest. I'm so honoured and so excited.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just...
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
When it comes to choosing a supermarket, why not stick to the facts? Fact is, Albertsons is just better. Nicer, fresher, faster, and friendlier. Come on in and see for yourself. For a delicious dinner this week, stop by the meat department and get Foster Farms split chicken breast or picnic pack, grade A bone-in for just 99 cents a pound. And for healthy fall snacking, pick up sweet Honeycrisp apples for only $1.49 a pound. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, better deals. Albertsons. Fact is, it's just better. When it comes to choosing a supermarket, why not stick to the facts? Fact is, Albertsons is just better. Nicer, fresher, faster, and friendlier. Come on in and see for yourself. For a delicious dinner this week, stop by the meat department and get Foster Farms split chicken breast or picnic pack, grade A bone-in for just 99 cents a pound. And for healthy fall snacking, pick up sweet Honeycrisp apples for only $1.49 a pound. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, better deals. Albertsons. Fact is, it's just better.